Welcome back to another episode. This one, we're talking about the book That Little Voice in Your Head by Mo Goddard. He's written other books as well, but this book is about understanding that voice in your head and how you can optimize it for a better and happier life. It comes from the concepts of computer science and neuroscience to mixing together. It has simple exercises you can kind of use to take control of your thoughts, emotions, and reshape them in a positive aspect. This is if you're interested in at all about emotional intelligence, how human brain is like an AI, and anyone wanting more happiness, which, like, why not? Then you're going to like this one. So if you think back to your earliest memories, can you recall being like a child, free of responsibilities, having pressures to do things, to be that happy again? You can actually reset your brain and retrain your brain to be at that default state. There's a guiding principle from the former Google X top executive and computer scientist, Mo Goddard. He studied and also promotes the concept of happiness, including his third bestseller book now, which is this one. There's a bunch of personal insights about him, and among them was a story about his son who died, Ali, which inspired him to kind of focus on his life's work and help people find more happiness. He even actually found a movement called 1 Billion Happy, and maybe you will be part of that after reading this and listen to this. So let's go into it. Your thoughts are in your control, and they do not define you. Before we go any further, there's one concept you must accept is you're in control of your brain just as you are a computer, and that includes the messages it sends. The essence of you is more than just your thoughts. While Goddard credits the brain with being a marvelous machine, he also says it's like another organ in the body that produces and processes things, like the oxygen we take in our lungs and expel the air out as carbon dioxide. The brain takes in things and produces outputs as thoughts. You don't think to breathe out as like, oh, I want to get out carbon dioxide. It just happens. Same should go for thoughts. You can also observe your thoughts. So if it were merely your thoughts and nothing more, then there would be no need for an internal voice to like say anything to you. Not everyone has an internal voice. That was actually something I learned, which is still mind-blowing to me. And it's actually more proof that brain is so important. It's not all of you. This can lead to the conclusion that you have some power over your thoughts. And that voice in your head, you don't have to do everything it says. You can choose to listen to it or not. If you've seen Westworld, this is one of the realizations that the main character goes through, that she can choose to listen to that voice in her head and then realize eventually the voice is her own. The first thing we have to account for is we have inputs that we take in, then are the processes which describe what the system does. Finally, the processes leads to the outputs from the inputs and the processing. And if you want happiness in your life, then it's likely that you aren't pleased with the output. So you want to change things up. You might have tried a few things with no big improvements. So just like a computer, like updating your software, the machine is still running slowly. This might be something to do for you to make change. So you might have picked up meditating or exercise. You're still not feeling it, much less seeing any results. Well, don't worry about it. We're about to get there. So let's start at the beginning of what is this thing to consider about our inputs. Here's something to kind of prime your brain. And this is an activity, so if you like to do it, take out a sheet of paper or just like on your phone, whatever. Paper's probably best. So take 5 minutes and in a quiet spot, just reflect on your last week. Write down everything you can recall using your five senses, which is like what you saw, what you heard, what you experienced, even felt, touched, and any thoughts you had about them. That's it. Don't judge the thoughts, just let them out. Keep this list. We want to come back to it after we look at the different things in your brain that can cause these troubles to happen to this list. Now you know you've done that, then you can actually focus on the four reasons our brains can cause some unhappiness. The four types of faulty inputs that cause unhappiness are defensive mechanisms, two polarities, and one type of bad thought. Inputs are all the information that enters your brain, and if you don't like your output in your life, look closely at what you're allowing into your brain. Four types of input that we have and can cause problems are conditioning, old thought patterns, pent-up emotions, this can be like traumas, and even hidden triggers, which can also be from traumas. And they all connect to the beliefs that you have some formed based on everything you've experienced in your life. First, you're similar in what they are, they're internal. A big problem of them is that what they say this isn't always true. The fourth hidden trigger refers to all the messages you take in form, such as the violence, consumerism in the media, and even well-meaning advice from a loved one. The next reason our brain may cause unhappiness is number three, which is in our countdown, is the defense mechanisms. The author turns to neuroscience to actually explain how our brain functions in these ways. We have a deeply neurological response, just like other animals. We have a reptilian part of our brain and then the neocortex, which is the newer part of the brain. Our mammalian brain actually is just to seek those pleasure and pain cycles. But our most advanced and rational brain helps to do complex things like other animals can do, whether that's like coding, programming, writing books, doing all the more advanced stuff that no other animal can do. But it can also cause a lot of trouble when there's too much influence going on, too much input coming in. Let's take, for example, if you have any hint of any danger, then you can get stuck in that reptile motor brain and always prioritize pleasure, hanging on to things that no longer serve us, or keeping in touch with people that really don't have the best input and best wishes for us. Now, you think your rational brain saw that overanalyzing can make us negative and feel generally dissatisfied with everything. Now, for two polarities, you probably heard them before, the right brain and the left brain. Compare them to the separate processes in a computer where one handles like graphics, the other handles like numbers and analytical tasks. Studies kind of show that the right side of the brain fires when we are processing creative and emotional matters, and the left does when we do structured things like strategy and organizations. It's like a computer, we need both to work together. So when they don't, that's the problems we're coming. And operas aren't good, so when they do not, so we're down to one. It's the one thought or the type of thought that causes unhappiness in our brain. Adet calls it rumination. And this word can be best explained as like if you're repeating a thought and you just keep thinking about it over and over and over and over. For some animals, it's good. But for us, it's not. It becomes part of your programming and that becomes your normal state to think like that. So you can use questioning to actually change your habits and debug your brain. And how do you do so? Let's figure it out. Let me tell you, remember, take a deep breath and count 4, 3, 2, 1 every time you sense a problem happening internally or feeling overwhelmed. So take that list of thoughts we had from the starting. If you haven't done it, so here, take a second, pause, and do that. That's going to actually help you. Now, put them to the test with questions like, okay, is this belief that I have here serving me? Where is this coming from? Is this even true? You can take a similar approach to confronting your reptilian part of the brain. Question the actual danger of a situation. Engage with the overall safety. Is this a matter of life and death? And if not, then change it, you know? Frequently actually reminding your brain how safe you actually are will balance the avoidant instinct. These questioning exercises will help super duper help with the rumination part of your brain. When the little voice starts talking, let it go. When it stops, ask for another thought, a different one. Give yourself some time, set an alarm. Eventually, the voice shuts up because you're paying attention to it. Remember, by starting to examine the issue that you're having from all sides and gather information, then act. You can learn it too. Remember, you have the power to dig into what motivates you, your thoughts, emotions, and choices. Don't just fall into a spiral of self-doubt, but use a little skepticism to develop some awareness of why you think the way you think and feel the way you do. And it'll build confidence in who you are and what your next moves are going to be to improve yourself. If you choose to optimize your brain, that's another way to can have a positive impact and have your thinking be even better. One of those tools is actually meditation to calm the mind and stop rumination, which is the biggest leading cause of unhappiness. But what do you do when you can't really shut up the brain or the world out of you? Focus on the simple things. Thinking of things you're grateful that you're very common but excited to have can be useful. And if something is not true, let it go because it's not serving you. Something else you can do is by giving things, not wanting anything back, just for the sake of giving, that can be helpful to you. Whether it's like paying for coffee with the person behind you. Try it out for yourself, see if it works. So remember, you're not the sum of your thoughts, but you're separate from them. You have the power to control them, change them, or replace them. Finally, you can choose to optimize your brain, your happiness.
You've been listening to Pure Entropy. Thanks for listening to this podcast. It really means a lot. I appreciate all the time taking out of your day to give it a listen. If you'd like to support further, you can do so by leaving us a review on your favorite podcasting platform of choice. See you in the next one.